Amen. Like the flesh of a little child. Like the flesh of a little child. You know, we really stumble over ourselves, don't we? The great general of the Arameans has to take off his armor, his fine robes, his identifications of being general and commander and having, and I don't know how much they were like the officers and the leaders of today's military, but they've got, you know, what they call the fruit salad, you know, the ribbons that go up on the shoulders. In some armies, the crown of the hat of the leaders is exaggerated, and it goes up and up and up. And the reason it's exaggerated is so that they look taller, because height is imposing, and they want to be imposing. So here's Naaman trying to look imposing, the victorious general being told to get down and get into the muddy water. And you can hear him mumbling as he takes off every layer and climbs down into the water. But today's lesson isn't about Naaman. It's not even about the hero of the story. The hero of this story is? Obviously, God provided the power. Elisha provides the direction. But who stands up, unnamed, stands up and takes care of God's will? The little girl. It says she's a little girl. This lesson isn't even about the hero of the story. A little girl had a whole lot more faith than the king of Israel did, didn't she? The king of Israel is all upset that Naaman's even coming to Israel. He's scared of one man coming to Israel. No, it's not about any of those folks. We're going to read about him in just a second. His story starts in verse 15, but we had to get the context straight before we get to what the issue and the struggle was. Before we do that, let's go to our Father in prayer. Holy Lord, great Father, thank you so much for watching over us. Father, help us to be a people who deeply love you, who deeply let our faith lead our lives. Father, help us to rebuke every part of our lives that is fakery or shallow or empty or covered with shadows, that your magnificent character can illuminate every corner of our person, and that we can be a people who trust you, who not only believe you, but believe in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. No, we're going to talk about Gehazi. Kings, 2 Kings 5, verse 15. You have to set up the whole scenario with Naaman. And with the few minutes we have left this morning, we might even have to finish this lesson next week, knowing the way my lessons go. So don't be impatient if we don't quite get to all the points of Gehazi this morning. Verse 15, Naaman is awestruck. Naaman has encountered the same thing those of you who have been baptized into Christ have encountered. The magnificent effect of obeying God. You see, we try, and we ought to be able to do it. Don't you think this way ought to work? And we try that way, and we think, well, you know what, I didn't do it that way hard enough. So we try in our own direction harder. And then we try in another direction. And then we give it another effort. And then we do something else that we think we ought to do. All because we don't want to try God's direction. Naaman came into contact with what happens when you obey God.
And he came out of that water. He went down into the water the seventh time. He came out the sixth time covered with leprosy. And you could probably see his face growing redder. I'm just guessing. But he was probably, he was already in a rage, right? Before that. He was probably thinking, they are going to be laughing at me. My entire army is going to be snickering that, their commander is down here in this muddy river, believing some guy didn't even have the courtesy to come out and talk to me, some prophet of our enemies. And you can say, all right, one more time, and they're going to hear it. And he went down the seventh time with leprosy and came up with his skin like that of a little child. And I don't know how weak his knees felt, but I get weak in the knees just thinking about it. He returned, verse 15, to the man of God with all his company and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. You see who gets the glory? That's exactly where it ought to be. That's exactly where it ought to be. So please, take a present from your servant now. But he, meaning Elisha, said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will take nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Naaman said, if not, please let your servant at least be given 2 mule loads of earth. For your servant will no longer offer burnt offering, nor will he sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. In this matter, may the Lord pardon your servant when my master goes to the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaves on my hand, and I will bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon your servant in this matter. And he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him some distance. Now, do you remember how much he brought? I'm not going to do. Colonel Pratt gave us a very interesting lesson last week in showing the value of the money dealing in Jesus' parables. And I won't do that with these talents and shekels. Talents of gold and shekels of, talents of silver and shekels of gold. But this man brought hundreds of pounds of valuable money, currency. And now we've got Gehazi. Verse 20. Reads, but Gehazi. Gehazi is Elisha's loyal servant. He's been with Elisha a while. We at least have him by name back when Elisha is dealing with the Shunammite woman. And he experienced things with Elisha. You know, Elisha, if you go back to 2 Kings chapter 2, you will see the passing of life of Elijah and the giving of this serving the nation as a prophet to Elisha. And Elijah asks Elisha, what shall I do for you before I'm taken away? And Elisha says, please let a double portion of your spirit fall on me. Let a double portion of your spirit. Elijah was strong and powerful. He had stood up to all of the false prophets. Elijah's life was one of illumination and strength in a very difficult time in Israel. And Elisha says, I want twice what you've got. That's a man of courage and a man of conviction. And it's interesting, if you wanted to just tabulate the miracles, Elijah is accounted in Scripture for 8 miracles, and Elisha is accounted in Scripture for 16 miracles. So just numerically, it did double. But this is the kind of man Elisha was, a man focused on God's will, not his own glory. But Gehazi's been there with Elisha. And now in verse 20, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, behold, my master has spared this Naaman the Aramean. by not receiving from his hands what he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. And when Naaman saw one running after him, he came down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well, my master. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, just now two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give me a talent of silver and two changes of clothes. And Naaman said, Please, take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of clothes and gave them to two of his servants, and they carried them before him. And when he came to the hill, he took them from their hand and deposited them in the house, and he went and sent the men away. And when they departed, but he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said to him, Where have you been, Gehazi? And he said, Your servant went nowhere. And then he said to him, Did not my heart go with you? And when the man turned from his chariot to meet you, is it a time to receive money, to receive clothes and olive groves and vineyards and sheep and oxen and male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever. So he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. You see, there's a difference between believing in God and believing God. Lots and lots and lots of people believe in God. But it takes an extra step. It takes the action of what the Scriptures give to us as faith to believe God. Gehazi had seen it. Gehazi had seen the Shunammite woman who could bear no children. When Elisha spoke, she then had a son. Gehazi had laid his own staff down when that son, years later, died. And knew that boy to be dead. And witnessed his own master, Elisha, bringing that child back to life. Gehazi had seen miracle after miracle in Elisha's life, but seeing it and knowing it and walking it are not the same thing. What tripped up Gehazi? What would you say tripped him up? What would you say tripped him up? Greed. He wanted it for himself. Haven't you been there? I know as a child, every one of us has been there. I've seen my own children do this, where you're at somebody's house, you know, you're visiting somebody, and you're looking at your watch saying, well, we've really got to go. And the mother just then brings around the corner, the lady of the house just then brings around the corner the cake, you know, all sliced or whatever. And you say, oh, thank you so much, but we've really got to go. And your children are going, no, Dad. We don't have to go. Look. Oh, we'll go to bed real fast when we get home. We really don't have to go now. And as the adult, you say, thank you so much, but, you know, we had a full dinner and we'll go out. And the children just go out the door with their eyes looking back, saying, the cake, it could have been mine. Can we wrap it up? Can we do something? Gehazi is stuck with the same thing. I don't trust your judgment, Elisha. I don't trust you. I want what I want. You know, Colossians has a very specific identification for this thing. Look in Colossians chapter 3. Look in Colossians chapter 3. We'll get back to Gehazi and finish this lesson. But let's wrap it up here with identifying from the gospel, from our understanding of God and ourselves through Jesus Christ, in Colossians chapter 3, what was Gehazi really guilty of? Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Now, in your mind, be thinking from Gehazi's point of view. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. If you have a New American Standard like I read from normally here, you can notice onto the footnote that that word amounts has a footnote to it. And the word is. That question was once a famous statement in this country. What's the definition of is? Depends what the definition of is. This says greed is idolatry. Greed is idolatry. Gehazi was worshiping something, and it wasn't his heavenly Father. It wasn't the holy God who gave Elisha the power to take the stands and teach and see what he saw and teach what he taught. A man who was self-centered and self-important came to Elisha to be cleaned, and he was cleaned by obeying God. And a man left Elisha seeking himself, seeking his own pleasure, seeking his own comfort, and he was made dirty by the greed he had in his heart. One man went away clean. The other man came back dirty. And symbolically, the filth is on the inside, but symbolically, the leprosy on the outside also transferred from Naaman to Gehazi. We'll continue the story of Gehazi and what brought this about in his life and how it parallels to ours. But for right now, think about the difference between believing in God and believing God, what it means to our lives, how to say no to the things around us. And like Naaman, if you're ready to obey God, if you haven't washed off the filth that we've got onto us from this world and from our own sins, that can happen in Christ. We can be cleansed. The blood of Christ does the cleansing. Our faith in Christ is the initial action and the agent, the connection between the magnificence of Christ and the action of our faith is baptism. And if there are any ready today to be baptized, we're very excited that last Sunday, both Caleb and Kaylee Hendricks were baptized out at camp. We are thrilled about that. And if you haven't congratulated them yet, please do so. I had 4 baptisms at camp this past week, and we're very excited about that. But if this morning there's anybody here ready for that, or if you have any other need that we can help you with, please come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.